You seem to get emotional there. No. Christian, we're talking about the legendary film series 7 Up, 7 Plus 7, 21 Up, 28 Up, 35 Up, 42 Up, 49 Up. It's the longest longitudinal study, if you want to call it that, of where they follow young kids from age 7 all the way through the lifespan. Oh. They check in every 7 years.
Yeah, I remember this. Yep.
It's it's quite riveting.
Ebert
is it good?
Ebert called it the greatest use of cinema.
Yeah,
ever.
He did. He really.
It's a good
it.
Idea.
Yeah, no, it's executed really well too.
One of the people, the Scouser, who dropped out and then came back solely to promote his band, was a teacher at our school.
Wow, yeah, that's cool.
I remember when I first. I think the first one I saw was 21 Up. It could have been 28. And all of a sudden, I'm like, holy shit, that's our history teacher.
Wow.
And he said the greatest moment of his life was when Liverpool won European Cup 3-1, and I knew he was a sad bastard at that point.
Yeah. We'll see if he makes it into... What number are we on now? 70?
It's going to be 70. Jeez.
The last one was 63. Yep. Yeah, 63. Well, let's watch that together. When's that coming out? We don't know. So they're filming it now?
Should be... Because it was pre-pandemic, 63, right?
I don't know.
It's on deck.
Wait, hold on a second. So does the number represent how old the person has gotten?
Yeah.
So they
all of
them
they
are
haven't
the same
been
age.
Doing.
They've been doing it for 70 years or
no
63.
Way.
63,
okay,
yeah.
I thought it was new-ish. So,
no, so they've been tracking
this.
This
has been going on for that many decades.
Yeah, since they were 7 in the 60s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I want to see
awesome.
This.
So I use this as part of my human growth and development class. It's the lifespan. You know, we look at these kids from the lifespan. Not very diverse.
A bunch of inner city American kids watching.
Well, is there another one that's better? There's nothing else like it.
I guess not.
But you have different class backgrounds. You know, they're not ethnically diverse except for Simon, but the others are.
Well, at the time they started, England wasn't that ethnically diverse.
No, that's why
so,
I tell them, these students.
And then did you read the interview with Michael Apted? He said, the biggest mistake I made is I didn't see the sexual revolution of the 60s coming. And we were like, because there's only 4 women in it, 3 Cockney girls and the posh woman.
Yeah.
And they said to him, why was that? And he goes, honestly, at that time we discussed it and we didn't feel like life would change that much for women. And he goes, obviously we got that massively wrong, and he goes, and I can't go back and fix it.
I'd like to see things change back to the way they were in the 50s for women. You know, do you think that will happen, where they take a more diminutive role in society and in the home?
Are you like, you trying to play up to my constant harassment of you as a misogynist?
Now I'm a misogynist and a nihilist.
Yeah,
is there nothing I'm?
And you got those good for? You got those bins back on.
I do. I'm not listening to you.
You're not
going to
be shamed out of them.
Nope. No, I won't.
Dr. Strangelove glasses.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, yeah, him too.
Every week we're going to come up with a new one.
Okay.
Indiana Jones, Nazi, Harry Potter, mm-hmm. Strangelove.
Mm-hmm.
I'll come
I've been asking around and they think you're off on this.
who's they?
People I talk to in my life. I have a full life. I don't know if you're aware of that.
.com.
I have a very full life. Thank you for the bolt cutters. I gotta say that
I hope whatever
you would
illegal
forget.
Thing you're doing goes well.
Yeah.
I don't see this, and maybe I'm just naive, but I don't see these cutting a kryptonite lock or something similar to that.
I don't know.
Well,
I don't think they could cut. Are you talking about like a bike U lock?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Well, no, I don't.
That's
think
crazy.
So. That's
you,
what
you,
I need.
You need like
How
a Dremel. You need a Dremel saw. I don't know what you're cutting. You asked for bolt cutters. I gave you bolt cutters.
Go get the, there's a, what's it, angle grinder in the basement. Yeah. That'll go for it like butter.
Like butter.
Through a U-lock?
Yeah.
Well, can I borrow that?
Yeah.
Because then I don't think I'll need these. These are fun.
You'll probably, to be honest, you'll probably take a finger off with it if you're in.
Well, maybe you help me with it.
Person.
I'm inept. You know
it took, it took me an hour to find those in the basement. Oh,
balls.
No, I'm joking. They were just sitting right there.
Well, I could cut something with it if it makes you happy.
If you
cut open your hard-boiled egg with them.
I don't know about with the bolt cutters, but as we talked about last week, I think it was, this is very thoughtful that he brought this for us. Mm. I've never tried a hard-boiled egg. They've always disgusted me. I do like eggs. So right now, I think I need like a thing to talk. I'm going to take at least a bite of this.
Just tap it on the desk.
Okay.
I'll do it with you.
All right, you got one too?
Yeah.
Come on, Mark. Don't be shy.
No, I can't.
You've already had
I will eat it. My old lady might eat it if she's back today.
She must love this program. You come home with all kinds of food for her.
Just a warning, it might be closer to soft boiled. So bite with the
it's already grossing me out. It's the smell.
Yeah.
It's the smell of a hard boiled egg that's always turned me off.
Wait, you don't like the smell of a hard boiled egg?
No.
That's a new one.
It smells like a woman who's up on blocks. Are you familiar with that expression?
I'm familiar with the expression, but I've never heard it applied to women.
Yeah. Up on blocks. Like a car
up on
blocks.
What exactly
does
that mean?
Yeah, well, like a car that's out of service.
No, I understand that part.
So the woman has eggs traveling through her system, and you associate the two.
You know, my mother, I have a horrible memory of my mother. She was older. She was 40-something when she had me. And by the time I can remember, you know, I'd follow her and, you know, into the bathroom. Not follow her into the bathroom, but after she'd used the bathroom, I'd go in there. And it smelled something like a hard-boiled egg. A 50-something-year-old woman's urine.
Oh, God.
Smells like fish hatchery of some kind.
You really fishery. Are alienating.
Now, don't forget to
the audience.
Take,
well, take my wife doesn't seem to have that smell, though.
I gave you a little my salt mother. Packet with it, too.
Okay.
You have to sprinkle a little bit of salt on top.
Now, if I bite into the top of this baby, this Humpty Dumpty, it looks like Humpty Dumpty.
I do make them a little more soft-boiled than hard.
And
I
it
like
oozes.
That
I'm going to spit it out. So, duck. I'm going to spit it in every
You know, direction. In this studio, you know, you sprint out the door.
Okay.
You're going to like it.
Where are those whorehounds, in case I got to cleanse the palate? We got those whorehounds in there?
Whorehounds are at hand.
All right. I might need those. Okay. Eggs are terrible for you, by the way. Studies are now showing that eggs are probably the worst thing you can possibly eat.
They change their mind all the time. It's the incredible edible egg. Remember those commercials?
From the microwave?
Think about what an egg actually is. It can't be good for you. There's no justification.
It's an embryo.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
From another animal.
Yeah. That lives in horrible, horrible factory conditions. That only has a living space the size of a sheet of copy paper.
Are you one of these vegetarians that believes that the pain and anguish of the animals comes through
the edible part
of it?
I do. The trauma. You're eating the trauma. I mean, I don't have any science behind that, but I believe it. Okay.
Are you ready?
I think so.
Okay.
What kind of egg? Hold on. What kind of egg is this? Is this a low quality?
No, chicken. No, I get the good ones. I get the over at Aldi. This is the.
Then they can't be good if they're at Aldi.
Yes, they can. You do not Aldi's besmirch
like
Aldi's.
It's like a
good
third
name.
World market.
No, it is not. Don't be foolish.
I went there last week on the way out. It's disgusting. Okay, I'm only taking one bite. Don't be offended.
Great.
But I'm gonna really.
Did you put salt on it?
Yeah, I did.
What are you gonna do with the egg once you finish?
Make sure
you
chew it right on the mic.
I'm gonna
too.
Take it out of here.
Oh, gross.
That's not bad, actually.
It's not bad, right?
It's not that bad.
It's pretty good.
I don't love the texture and the coldness of it. But it's not as...
Well, you're eating the boring bit.
It's revolting. No, this is the... I'm afraid of
You even got to the yolk.
But this is not as revolting as I thought.
The yolk's on you.
I just don't know why you would ever want this. Why would you ever want this?
I love meringues.
I like the taste.
Do you like meringues? I love meringues.
Like a lemon meringue pie?
Yeah, well, just the meringue part, which is egg white, basically.
Yeah, like a fluffed egg white?
Yeah.
Yeah. You love everything British. The film 7-Up.
That's why I didn't give Mark a salt packet, because I know that they don't use those in Britain.
They don't?
No.
There's no salt.
Who is it? There used to be a character either in film or TV that would have an egg and would just... peel it and eat it with salt.
Yeah.
Is that Mr. Bean? I've never watched it.
I don't think it was Mr. Bean, but I know what you're talking about. I can't think of
it. Very
who it
clinically.
Mm-hmm.
And he would peel the egg and eat it with salt.
See, you got to get to the yolk.
I don't want that. I don't want it.
I don't want
that yolk.
I don't know how you've managed to eat this much of the egg without getting to the yolk yet.
I can see it, but I'm avoiding it.
It looks like Mount Everest.
It's like nibbling around the yolk.
It's just snow-capped mountains.
It's like my wife's brown star.
I'm trying to
I only work the
here.
Edges of it. I don't want to go down
Oh, man.
Down Cadbury's Alley. You know what else I never liked?
Cadbury Alley.
I never liked the Cadbury egg. The cream egg, also. Well, the texture of it. It's like...
Too much sugar. It's so much.
They're famously unliked, though, aren't they?
I thought they were very liked.
It's the joke. It's like, who are they making these for?
Yeah. This is goo. Mm-hmm. It's like a daub of a man's... whatever.
Jesus Christ. Did you just come from biology class or something?
From an open mic?
Yeah.
Oh, does it sound like an open mic?
Yeah.
I'm done.
Yeah?
I don't want any more. And I want
eat
it out
some
of
the
life.
Yolk. At least eat no, a I won't. Just a little, just right. little well, tiny no, piece.
Just to satisfy because you went to all this trouble.
Yes, please.
Balance it in the crook of the is that jaws. The yolk? There you go.
Did you get some of the yolk there?
Yeah, I did. I don't care for it. Now, you talked about an egg preparation last week that was akin to this, but it was you pull it before it's time, or you pull it before it's fully congealed.
Yeah. That's so
what is that
is.
Called? No, this is... Well, is this what it, that...
Eggy soldiers.
Eggy soldier.
Yeah, you can so dip the bread
soft,
in the
it's soft
yolk
boiled,
part.
And you knock the top off, and then you dip your soldiers in there.
Yeah, so this is a soft boiled egg.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, usually the yolk is just like hard cardboardish yellow.
Yeah,
but I don't like it like that. I like it a little more flexible.
I don't feel well.
You'll feel great pretty soon.
Yeah,
you're gonna have superhuman strength. Yep,
when it kicks in.
Yep,
you're gonna grow. Wait for the egg to kick in.
Muscles.
I am nigh of protein, so.
There you go. Oh, you're good for the day.
Yes. Okay. Well, I tried my very best when I got here to not talk to you.
Yeah, you did a good job. I didn't know what was going on for a second there.
But you two old ladies cannot be stopped.
I've been here for
just
2 hours.
Can't turn it
Come
off.
On.
Tell me about what's going on here with these youth. This is the youth program? Is this the same group of kids I saw the last time?
No.
Or not the group,
it's different,
different
schools
school?
Every time, yeah.
And how was the school chosen? How do you come about that relationship with the school?
We have a partnership with a group called Embark.
Oh, yeah,
they
Embark.
They run various programs, of which we are one.
Yes, yes. And who brings in the luncheon?
Embark.
Embark.
Oh. Who eats it? This
you
guy.
Got, yeah. So what did you have today from the free lunch?
Just chicken burrito.
Chicken burrito? What'd you have?
Sonal was kind enough to pull aside a steak burrito for me, but it is still sitting on the bar.
It's hiding.
I have not had it yet. Yeah. I already had my giant salad for breakfast.
Who makes it?
I think it's Chipotle, aren't
they?
No, it was Irizu. Tino was here
was
earlier.
It?
Yep.
I gotta try this.
Irizu.
Yep. Tino was here with his trolley full of burritos and chips.
Huh.
That's Costa Rican, that joint, right?
Yep. Certainly.
Yeah, I gotta try that. That's the fellow that comes in on the weekend.
They sell sandwiches and burrito bowls, and sometimes Portillo chocolate cake.
Yes, right. Yes, okay. All right.
On the weekends here.
Well, another free lunch. I'm glad I didn't bring anything. You've already eaten.
I was going to text you, and then I thought, hey, free lunch, don't bother. And
yeah,
I thought,
you should've.
Sometimes they don't bring vegetarian ones, though. So yeah, I thought you'd be up Slack Alley then.
Well, that would have been presumptuous on your part to assume I was bringing lunch.
No, I was going to tell you to not and to come grab a freebie.
Oh. But to tell me not is, to assume
you
that I would.
Chips.
Yeah, I came empty-handed today. You know, I feel like I've set an expectation of feeding you every week that I need to turn back.
I thought it was because I told you yesterday that I had a treat for you.
You did, but I thought that was the bolt cutters.
But then you asked me if it was the bolt cutters, and I said no. And then you told me you didn't like how I talk.
Yeah, well, listen, this I know it's dead air, but this phone situation, I'm not
God,
having
we're
it.
Not returning to
yeah, I'm the
not
phone talk.
It. He only gives me one-word answers in text now.
I'm busy watching a hockey game.
Listen.
I don't have all the time to be stopping what I'm doing to write a novel.
It's got to stop. you
got
to go back.
You got, to the, you got what you,
you
wanted,
go back to
didn't
the other
you?
Phone.
You got the bowl cutters that you're not going to use.
Yeah. I've your this phone situation, because I was very much on the cusp of doing it myself, going to the flip phone. We talked about it for years, and then you inspired me for a minute there.
Uh-huh.
But you having it for these weeks has made me reverse now. I will never do the flip phone.
When you got
but
upset last night, I laughed out loud on my couch for like 3 minutes.
I was upset. And the
no group text is a bit of a ball ache.
It's a ball ache.
And I'm really good with GIFs. And every time I go to respond to him, I pull up a GIF and then I realize there's no point.
It's not going anywhere. Yeah. Listen.
It is what
I'm
it is.
I'm almost at the point of an ultimatum here.
What, you want to stop the podcast either, unless I get a...
I guess.
No.
Maybe.
I know which side of the aisle that's
going to have a meeting and vote you off. Out. If you don't get that phone fixed.
It's not broken.
You know what I mean. You can't live life the way life's meant to be lived without that phone.
Mm.
You're missing out.
Yet I have for the last 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you're depressed. I can tell by your responses.
Yeah.
They're just all one word.
Yeah, that's true. My depression does come through in my flip phone texts.
Speaking of ending the podcast.
Ooh.
No, not me.
Is Beguine out again?
Beguine. You've intimated to me you're heading back to work sometime soon.
Yeah.
What does that foretell for the podcast?
Was either that weekends?
Okay.
I think most contracts now are 4 days on site. I don't think there's a computer contract these days that doesn't have some sort of remote portion of it. Yeah.
Made me think about remote work during the pandemic, and I remember hearing about guys who were working remote. And then they'd like text me in the middle of the day, that's a wank, right? And then they were, in essence, being paid by their employer to have a wank.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't wank at work, or maybe you could.
You could.
You could, but you wouldn't, most likely. I would hope not. But if you're home working remotely, you're probably having a wank on the company dime.
Hmm. On the company dime, please.
Remember
the line in Usual Suspects, the biggest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing everyone he doesn't exist or whatever it is.
I don't understand that.
That's the same stuff with this with working at home. You know, the balls on these corporations to be like, you know what? Your home is now going to be your work. Yeah. You used to have these two separate, you used to have a sanctuary and then a place that you worked, but now you don't have your sanctuary anymore. We're going to make it seem like we're doing you a favor. You don't have to go anywhere. We're going to bring all our shit into your home. And now when you wake up, you're at work. When you go to bed, you're at work. You're always at work. And we're going to disguise it like it's convenience.
Yeah, it's convenient.
That's not the way the wind's blowing. Corporations are pulling people back.
Some of them.
Yeah.
No, a lot of them.
Because of the wanking? Because of the wanking?
What's the percentage exactly?
Mainly the wanking. I think because if you think about it, I always think about it from a human perspective. If you can work from home, it makes better sense for humanity for you to do so. And
just
here's
the carbon
why.
Footprint?
Exactly. Carbon footprint, no commute, no buildings being heated.
How about quality of life?
You can manage that.
How is it if it takes away from your quality of life?
It does.
How?
Like I said, you wake up, you're at work. You go to bed, you're constantly in your place of work. It's no longer your home. Yes. Now you have no more separation between home and work. It's always, I'm in the office when I am in my kitchen.
Yeah, it was a stopgap measure that should have been a stopgap measure.
And maybe the winds are blowing the opposite way now, but it still remains that's how it has been for so long. That's how it was presented, and it remained that way longer than we needed it. Sure, maybe we needed it during the pandemic, but when that was over, that should have been it. But it was already set into place, just like everything else. You know, it's just, well, we already got them used to it. Now they're going to stay at home, and we're just going to exploit that as much as we can.
Well, he's saying the winds are blowing. Do you, just from an efficiency standpoint, do you think workers in general are more efficient at home or in a workplace?
Well, I think it depends
who
you are.
That's the bottom line.
Depends who you are, what you're doing.
There's so many
variables to that. You can't just give one blanket answer.
As soon as they called people back into our office, me and two other guys were the only ones in there. Of 100 people. Mm-hmm. And I had to go because I can't concentrate at home.
Right.
You know, there's a cat bugging me. There's a motorbike to work on. There's this and that. So I couldn't do it that way. But I did enjoy the fact that everyone else stayed home and then I didn't have to interact with them. I was in the office on my own. Yeah, but if you think about it from an efficiency, a human efficiency, I'm blowing an hour and a half, 2 hours every Jeffin day to drive backwards and forwards that has absolutely no human benefit whatsoever.
Yeah.
That's if you drive an hour to work and back, though. Not everybody does that. I don't do that.
My missus worked downtown. It was still 40-minute commute on the L and stuff. It's a waste of humanity to do that.
But the workday starts when the workday starts. Whether there's a commute that precedes that or not doesn't... I mean, I understand what you're saying in terms of waste and wasted time and carbon footprint. But if the workday starts at 9, it starts at 9. Whether you take an hour to get there or you roll out of the sack 5 minutes before 9, right? So I don't think it adds more time to the workday for anybody, right? They just fill that with more leisure rather than commuting.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Which is a good thing, right? It gives you more time back.
Yeah.
Right. But in terms of efficiency, I don't know. I think, you know, some people are more distracted maybe at work by the work politics and maybe, you know, lasses running around the workplace, you know, creating some kind of diversion. That's not me. This is for my wife out there listening. I'm not distracted. I'm nose to the grindstone. But anyway, my whole point in this was not to talk about this. It was to worry about the podcast's future. And when you go back to work, what will become of it? I just want to say this, that if you go back to work and somehow the podcast starts to go by the wayside, I will take my own life.
You heard it here first, folks.
Yep.
All right, because this is all I've got.
You have really. A very have full... A hard,
that's yeah. true, I have
a full what life. I have a full life.
I do, but it's not full without this. This is what makes
it's
it
only half full.
Full. So much look forward to our time together every week.
Yeah. I'm under pressure from a sponsor to do another podcast.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you've sort of auditioned on this podcast. They've heard your work and they want you involved in something else?
No. He just wants to do more podcasts about AI and stuff.
Oh. Tell us more.
I haven't really read through
by a
it.
Sponsor? What sponsor? Beginning Construction?
No. Sponsor of this place.
Oh. Is there a place for me there in that show? Probably
yeah, you
not.
Do
I don't
it.
Know anything.
You
what?
Do it.
I do what?
Whatever the premise is.
Oh, I'll be on it too?
No, you just do it. I don't want to do it.
Oh, no. I don't. This is all I can do. All right, let's go to the ratings. How are our ratings this week?
Through the roof.
They're spiking?
Yep.
Yeah?
Best we've ever done.
New listeners? Yes.
Plenty.
You're seeing different to what I saw then.
Oh, you get to see them too?
Oh, yeah. I
Where
check every morning.
You do?
Yeah, as soon as I wake up. But I come here first to do it because I will not work from home.
Oh, you go into Castos for the other one.
Yep.
Oh, because you're the
what?
The administrator of all podcasts.
The cooker of soft-boiled eggs.
Okay, we're doing well then. Okay.
We're not actually. And what's weird is there was this bizarre spike with, you remember the guy, what was the guy, the dancing idiot guy from SNL?
Marcelo
Tracy Morgan.
Marcelo?
Oh, yeah.
Did you look at our stats? There's this huge spike.
I've never once looked at our stats.
Oh, okay. So we're flatline, you know, pretty dismal. And then all of a sudden it doubles for him and then drops back down again. So someone, one of you two, was pulling some sort of promotional stunt for that.
I rent that plane with that banner.
You did?
I knew it was going to pay off.
The sky?
Yep.
Now, if somebody searched for Marcelo Hernandez, wanted some content on him, would we come up anywhere in a search history?
So you fill in keywords. So I always just put the name of the person, comedy special, review, stand-up comedy or something. Like, whether that works.
Yeah.
You know, you put in tags or whatever all the kids call them.
And so we would come up in that search, maybe?
I don't know.
Figure that out, yeah. One sad thing is that I ran into somebody in the street. And she said, "What have you been up to? I haven't seen this person in a while." And I was like, "Well, you know, I'm doing a podcast." Really? And she opens her phone. "What is it?" And types it in there, right? And it comes up. Oh, there it is, right? And then the first thing under the title is reviews. And there aren't any reviews, I don't think, or maybe one. Borky might have given us a nice review, but we need reviews. Otherwise, it looks like nobody's watching. We got to get some fake reviews out there.
Or just real ones. I think we have four listeners, so yeah, all we need four them of to you.
So, yeah.
Please leave us 5 stars. Thumbs up.
Yeah.
I like this. Some positive words.
Yes. If I could ask all the employees of Begin Construction, all the guys that work on the job, the youth that, you know, move debris around, to go on and review us.
Smash that like button.
Yeah,
smash that it. Like button. Is that why you got to do that? Because it looks like people are into it. Yeah.
Smashing the like. It's so hard.
Smash that like.
Can't take it back.
Button. My wife. smash that like button.
And then you could go home and smash her like button.
I was going to do it myself, but I already smashed her like button today.
That softball was just lingering, just waiting to be.
Oh, my God.
Listen.
I saw that pitch come in all the way down. Yep.
That's why I was a few minutes late today. we're smashing that like button over and over and over.
Yeah.
I want to apologize to the other people in the building.
I did find out we have another listener.
Who is that?
So I did my quarterly post on Facebook this week.
Oh, and you plugged us?
I didn't plug this, no.
Why?
But
embarrassing.
One of the guys who I went to university with, Welsh lad, name of Josh, just put a comment underneath the picture I put saying, enjoying the podcast, by the way.
Wow.
Thanks, Josh.
How do you think he found it?
I think I did plug it way back.
Keep plugging it.
Keep plugging it.
Listen, I don't know if these people are lying to me. I'm certainly not fishing for feedback or compliments, but the people that listen to this really enjoy it.
Yeah,
and they keep listening. They would have stopped. No, yes, I enjoy it. It's true. But I think if people listen to this, they will really enjoy it. Enough.
Maybe I have low self-esteem, but I literally cannot think of one redeeming factor to listen to this.
I only listen to the parts where I talk, forward through when you guys talk.
I can split the file off and just say
just give me
the isolate.
Yeah,
it record when this records, it isolates like
separate tracks.
There's four tracks, so there's the isolated mics. And then the mix together.
Send me my track.
So when you edit, that's how you will take something out. You'll go to one mic and just...
No. I only work with the mix.
There's a master
already.
Copy.
Yeah, the master.
Oh, okay. That's very high level.
But it's... maybe we'll just do that for an experiment once. And we'll just publish just one mic. So you'll only hear one third.
You
got
to listen to it three times to figure out exactly what's going on.
Yeah. Let's do it. You'd be yours, though.
Isolated mic track.
Yeah.
That'd be funny.
We'll start with yours.
No, we'll do it for you. Whatever comedian you pick next, I'm just going to...
Is it me today?
I'm just going to publish.
Yeah.
I'm only going to publish your mic track.
Oh, shoes on the other foot.
Oh, no, I have
I see
one.
The panic in your eyes. I know that look. I've looked in the mirror.
Who is it? The Muppet Beaker when he's like this? All confused and
people
shit,
used to
nervous.
Call me. People used to call me Beaker because of like the hair tuft and everything.
I noticed your hair today. It looks very clean and soft. Are you using different products?
No, I just washed it today. Yeah.
You don't normally wash it.
No, not as a rule.
Looks nice.
I like it lank and greasy.
Yeah. Hey, so you
I like it to look like an Italian ice hockey player who's just played a game.
Oh. Real greasy. Yeah. A greaser. My kid doesn't wash his hair. He believes that like the chemicals in shampoo or whatever, and he hasn't washed his hair for like months.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it looks terribly greasy. And I tell him so.
You got to toss some in every once in a while. Like toss some shampoo. I do the same thing. I don't suds it up like I used to. I go with the natural oils more.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, every like 3-4 days, you got to
give it a
shampoo. You got to put a little bit in there, you know? Yeah. Cause you got to clean that grease out.
Every time I have a new pillar, the old one looks like nicotine stained.
Oh, like Soul Glow from Coming to America. Remember when those the family members with the jerry curls get up from the couch and there's a big grease? That's what your pillow looks like.
Yeah, it's rank.
Hey,
I have a sweaty head.
My wife brought this up the other day. She was listening and and listened to you talk about squeezing her hand. Yeah, too what much
you
when say?
I've been waiting.
She
for
didn't.
This.
It didn't register at all. She said she didn't even notice.
I know. I always think about
Jesus. You're
too
neurotic.
Much. I know. It's bad.
Notice that at all?
Yeah, and I must have talked about that for a week and a half. Yeah. Like everybody that I had talked, every hand I shook a hand yesterday, and I thought about that.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? You have like superhuman strength?
Yes, I'm convinced that I do. I eat a lot of eggs.
I have like a you have this too, even worse than me. You have like a dead fish hand.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Why
every,
do you do that?
Every time I shake hands with Nate Craig, I get a lecture, and he tells me to shake hands like
stepping your hand up.
Yeah. He actually goes every time. He'll go, Mark, this is what it feels like to shake hands with
like
you.
A dead fish.
And he'll do the and then he'll be like, be a man, shake hands with a firm handshake. He's very alpha, isn't he, Nate Craig?
He is. He's very alpha.
Oh, Mark, what do you call the smallest batteries that go into remotes? The ones that you just bought a pack of.
Triple A's.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, he said something else?
I thought he was saying treble A's before.
Treble A's?
Yeah.
No, I haven't heard of that.
I heard it twice. I was convinced.
It's treble. More British talk.
Yeah, it was saving for our British talk segment. Mm. That's why it had to be a surprise.
Are you guys going to watch the Oscars this weekend?
Nope.
No.
No? Why not? You don't like the Oscars? It's like the Super Bowl for some people.
I'm trying to become more of a man like Nate Craig.
I don't like the name Oscar as far as it pertains to anything except for the green monster living in a garbage can.
Okay.
I have a rule about that.
Such self-congratulatory bullshit, isn't it?
Yeah, but if
people laugh it off. Well, it's just a bit of fun.
Yeah.
My missus gets really annoyed if I sit there and diss it. And I'm like,
she watches
don't make
it?
Me watch it then.
She watches it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's not so much the ceremony. It's the recognition of the films and drawing your eyes to what maybe are important films. And seeing these films, you know, I feel like is important. If you're a cinephile, and you seem to be. You watched that recommendation I gave you to Live and Die in L.A. this past week. Did you enjoy it? It's an excellent film.
I was very distracted by William Peterson all the way because I've ever seen him in is CSI. And I've watched every CSI three times. And now he's like there and he's swearing and he's just shagging
he's left
and
right.
Very
seedy character.
Yeah, and
he's
I'm
an
like,
unseemly character in it.
I just...
Yeah.
I think it...
Be like seeing Mark Harmon do that same character.
Yeah, I kept Rogue saying this cop. isn't you, William.
Yeah.
Stop, this isn't you.
Yeah.
And that became a distraction rather than just in a vacuum. Yep, this is a dumb shoot 'em up film.
How'd you like Willem Dafoe? He's wonderful in that. He's an excellent actor.
I mean, if you want someone to be evil and sleazy,
he just looks evil. You know?
Yeah, his bone structure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never more so than in that Spider-Man is.
I was just
going to
say the same thing. Yep,
he looks just like
really
the
nailed
Goblin.
It. Yeah. They didn't even have to put a mask on him.
Right. Yeah. Well, I've seen almost all of them. This weekend for me is going to be a marathon of final films. I've seen all the best pictures, but I got to get into the smaller categories. I finished it off the other night with a great film that I think you and all our many listeners would enjoy: Train Dreams.
Oh, I've seen that.
Did you enjoy that?
Yeah, it was all right.
That's it.
I mean, I kept thinking of Sean Cole all the way through it, but
up there in the Great Northwest,
yeah, and silent man.
He ain't silent. Don't mistake him for silent. Good God.
No, I mean it had that sort of grim, unrelenting pessimism that I like.
Yeah, yeah, it's right up your alley.
When's the shoe gonna drop? How does he get knackered this time?
Yeah, but it doesn't. It's
what do you mean it doesn't? His wife and child are burned alive.
That happens very early. Well, then give it away.
I know. I don't have to watch it.
Ah, balls. Yep. You just ruined it.
I'll cut it out.
Just save me
three
hours.
No, but he heard you.
You know it's going to happen from the get-go.
I saw the best movie ever made this week. It's called Sweet Charity.
Gremlins.
Sweet Charity.
Have you heard of this? It's Shirley MacLaine.
He knows it.
I've heard of it, but I don't know it.
I did go to rent it, but...
Really?
No
at the video store?
Yeah. No dice. Wasn't in my price bracket.
Oh. What did you try to rent it on? Amazon?
I mean, you know, it's one of them or ones. It's one of them ones. It says six ways to rent this.
Yeah.
You know,
how much was it?
Five of them are some bullshit subscription trial.
Yeah.
And I think it was about $8 maybe on Amazon.
To rent it.
Yeah, where do you draw the line on a movie rental? On
like
$2.99.
Four.
Yeah, I was gonna say four.
$3.99.
Unless I'm with somebody and we've already decided like we're watching this movie, it's like they're fine.
Yeah.
You know.
Plus, it's like, you know, I did so much thrift storing over the last couple of decades, and it's like we went to watch Groundhog Day the other day.
Yeah.
And obviously, once it gets towards Groundhog Day, they immediately yank it from any free.
Yeah.
Free platforms,
right.
And now you got to go to Amazon and blah blah blah. And I was like, God, I must have seen this on VHS.
Dollar bins.
Eight right. million goddamn mm-hmm. times.
So you went into the boxes
and now I didn't have it, and now I got to pay $4 to watch the goddamn thing.
I'm gonna keep an eye out at thrift stores and such for a copy of Sweet Charity. What do you have, a DVD player?
That
or VHS?
I used to see that a lot in the album section.
Sweet Charity?
Yeah, because it has like Big Spender.
Yeah, it's got some hits. It's a musical with
Shirley
some hits
MacLaine's
in it.
Who else? What's the year?
No idea.
60s probably.
60s, yeah. Big,
Jack Lemmon.
Big dance numbers.
Oh, it's a musical?
Yeah. Here's the thing. It starts out, I saw it at Alamo Draft House, and it started out and she started singing and I'm like, okay, I guess this is what I'm in for. I'm already here, you know. And it takes a turn in the first 3 minutes and all of a sudden
someone
it
gets bludgeoned.
It takes a turn. I don't want to give it away.
Okay.
And then from there on out, it's off to the races, as Mark would say.
Why are they showing this film at Alamo?
Were showing it because they were doing a thing where they were showing one film picked by each member of the founding members of Gorillaz. So before the film, they would show about 15-minute short films. One was a documentary about the making of their latest album, and the other was an animated film featuring the songs from the latest album. After they played those for 4 weeks in a row, a film would be picked by each member and they'd play whatever film that member picked. This particular week that I went was picked by the percussionist Russell from the group.
So you're a big Gorillaz fan.
Huge Gorillaz fan.
Yeah, okay.
Always I'll go happen. For the, when's the Damon Albarn week?
I don't know.
You're into these Gorillaz?
It very well could be tomorrow, Mark, because I think it's every Thursday.
I bet you I know what he picks. I'm calling it.
Okay, what is it?
I bet he picks the original Michael Caine, Get Carter.
Okay, Michael Caine.
These are British guys? Gorillaz?
Gorillaz is, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, they collaborate with a lot of people, so
like Daft Punk?
No.
They British?
I forgot. They collaborated with the Slaves. Soft Play.
Mhm.
You guys are into the same music, okay. You two? Is that fair
ish,
to say?
Ish.
Yeah. Ish, yeah.
You into Lords of Acid?
No idea what that is.
Yeah. Praga Khan? Not familiar?
Familiar.
You are?
Okay. Yeah, but I don't know if I like them or not. I'd have to hear a song. I just know the words.
Check them out.
Praga Khan.
All right, well, we got to get into our comedian here. We're long in the tooth. But
yeah.
Last thing before we switch gears to that, I want to say congratulations to you guys. Purveyors of the Lincoln Lodge. Big awards this week. It's everywhere. Everybody's talking about it. Lincoln Lodge voted best stand-up venue in the city of Chicago for the first time ever?
No.
Oh.
We've had it before.
Oh, okay.
Well, don't ask me when.
But you didn't win it last year. Who won it? Went back to Zany's last year?
Oh, this is by the Reader, right? Because we won the Grizzellies?
Well,
Gazellies?
Gazellies. Yeah,
Gazellies. The Razzies. The Razzies.
No, the Gazellies is the comedian's choice.
Yeah,
award.
I guess we won that
that's
4 years in a row.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the Screen Actors Guild. Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Comedian's choice? Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then...
Unbeaten.
The Reader, I don't want to get into it with our fellow club members, but there's a couple of comedy clubs that famously pay... interns to just smash that
like
vote
button.
Button every day or whatever, and I'm like,
did you do the same campaign this year? Have Kelsey pounding?
I think might have been.
She's pounding.
She's doing a lot of work in trying to get raise consciousness of this award.
Yeah,
but
we got a ton of popcorn.
Yeah,
as a result.
Oh, that was.
If you'd like any popcorn,
what do you mean?
We got a huge
microwave
tub of
popcorn.
A giant tub of popcorn was delivered yesterday afternoon.
That's the award?
It was, yes.
That's the prize?
Yeah, I guess so.
For best stand-up venue? What?
It's not. Maybe Mark can elaborate. He's shaking his head.
No, it was sent to us by the people we pay a lot of money to do our SEO.
It was sent
stuff.
To us by the people we bought popcorn from.
Yeah. SEO?
Like our internet people.
No.
Well,
keep your internet profile high. Is that right? Yeah.
I
thought it was from the reader.
Well, big awards. And then I didn't, you know, lots of awards for the individual shows and comedians, I think. I don't know any of them, but.
No, me neither.
You don't know any of the comedians that perform here?
I know all of them.
he's the face.
Mm-hmm.
You do?
Yep.
Yeah.
We all go to the same parties.
They won a bunch of awards. How about your friend John Boldyke? Did he win any awards? How about his brother, Scotty Boldyke?
I don't know. I got to ask him. Yeah, it hasn't come up.
No? He should. Yeah. I like
maybe,
his act.
Maybe, yeah, maybe they're just being coy.
You got to take a look at this Boldyke fella. He's got an act.
I wouldn't be mocking it. He's a big lad.
Yeah. I'm not mocking anything.
He looks nails. He's a Bostonian.
Yeah, that's why I like
him. Southie. Right.
Yeah,
I like him. Southie
like
me.
Yeah.
Well, he's not from Boston, but he's
well, he wears Boston
in the
Celtics
area.
Gear.
In the area, yes, he's a huge Celtics fan.
He's from Maine.
Yeah, Bangor, Maine.
Maine, yeah, mm-hmm. Maine. Okay, and then what else did I want to ask you? I can't remember. That's it. All right. Well, congratulations.
I forgot to do an agenda.
You did?
I forgot to.
When do you ever do an agenda?
Last week we said we all have to come with an agenda.
Oh, you got your agenda?
No. No. I don't remember saying that. Mm. I think it's made up.
Yeah, he said something about it. Yeah. All right, well, Mitch Hedberg. You remember him?
Yep.
Oh,
remember
yeah.
Old Mitch?
Is this my pick?
This was your pick.
I kind of groaned when you picked it. I was like, oh.
I thought you were going
God.
To. I was waiting for it. I couldn't believe you didn't.
Not that I don't like Mitch Hedberg, but I was like, oh, God, this reminds me of comedy in the late 90s of just sitting in a bar wanking with the entire open mic community. Oh, we're going to change this scene. Yeah, people, get rid of all these old farts. Who's our shining knight in shining armor? Mitch Hedberg. He's the savior. You know, I never realized till I Googled him. He was born almost the same exact time, you know, as me. He would be my age if he wasn't dead.
It was 65?
57.
Okay. All right.
He died at 37, which is, I thought he died younger than that. Because of how he looked, I was thinking he was late 20s.
I thought so too.
Yeah, that did surprise me. Yeah.
He died at 37.
On April Fool's Day.
Yeah.
Everybody thought it was a trick.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Famous comedians that died young. Go. Mitch Hedberg.
Bill Hicks.
John Candy.
And Bill Hicks died?
He's not really a comedian.
John
though.
Candy, no.
Why not John Candy?
He was like 50 years old. He's
oh, really?
Morbidly obese.
I thought he was like 37. Like Mitch Hedberg.
Louis Anderson.
The same deal.
I know, but that's what... Richard Pryor.
Same deal. He was
Eddie
60.
Murphy. Still
Eddie alive. Murphy isn't dead.
Comedians don't die the way musicians
rock
die,
stars
but they live an equally awful lifestyle.
Brody Stevens. At his own hand.
That was his own hand? Oh. Good friend of Zach Galifianakis.
I think comedians are such raging narcissists. They couldn't imagine
taking their own life.
Yeah, why would I take my own life? I'd be robbing the world of this genius.
My genius. Well, I didn't say comedians have taken their own life, but just comedians that have died. You know, living fast and hard. Pat Bryce, the legendary Pat Bryce.
Fast and hard lives.
Yeah, you'd think more would pop out, right? Like Hedberg. I don't know if he stands alone, but I think he die right around the same time as Australian singer, a famous Australian. Do you have that happen where, because we talked about it that time when we said famous Australians, go, and we came up with like five, that like you'll come across an Australian, like, fuck, I forgot about that, right? Margot Robbie.
No, because I couldn't
Australian.
Think of anybody when it happened.
Jacob Elordi, Australian. Michael Hutchins of NXS. I feel like he died the same time as Hedberg.
He died wanking.
Is he one of those?
Autoerotic asphyxiation? Mm-hmm. I don't know about that. How do you know? I heard that about Chris Cornell as well. He was doing the autoerotic.
Yeah.
All right, well, never mind that then. We can come up with no other comedians really that have died young.
Were we talking about it here on this podcast that autoerotic asphyxiation would be great if you could have somebody in the room with you to make sure that you didn't die? You know, so you get like 100% the experience without the risk.
Well, one of the specials had a bit about
it. Or was it one of the specials that we watched?
Okay. I don't know if that was the bit, but yeah.
It's Mulaney, wasn't it?
I don't know.
It wasn't in Comeback Kid, I can tell you that, because I've got that whole thing memorized.
Yeah,
but it was one of the specials that we watched. Okay, it wasn't us coming up with it ourselves. It's a good idea.
Well, Louis C.K. he was doing autoerotic asphyxiation right in front of other comedians. It didn't really help him out though.
He's doing fine.
Was he doing a wank in front of people?
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, that's frowned upon.
That's a weird power. Like, you know, obviously he did it for some mental reason, right?
Maybe he just liked it.
Yeah,
that's a weird
thing to do,
to fathom why you're doing that.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
And I rewatched Fargo, she was strangling Jason Schwartzman. You're never gonna watch it.
Well, I tried to watch it. My missus said it was too violent, so I would have to watch it alone.
You should watch the one, the Chris Rock, Jesse Buckley one. It's magnificent.
Oh, Jesse Buckley's in that?
Yeah.
What a wonderful actress she is. Saw her in The Bride the other night. The film is poor, but she's wonderful.
You know what I found out this morning?
What?
Edie Falco was lined up to play Detective Lundegaard.
Oh, yeah.
In the original Fargo?
In the original Fargo, but she had a scheduling conflict. Now, had she played that, she wouldn't have been Carmela on Sopranos, so would that show have happened?
No way she was up for the Frances McDormand role?
Yes.
No way. Yeah. That's Joel Cohen's old lady.
Oh, wait. No, sorry. She wasn't up for that. Okay, I got it wrong. She wasn't up for that. After Fargo was out, the next year, there was a pilot filmed of Fargo, the TV series. Not the one that we know and have talked about, but one that wasn't picked up. There's a pilot filmed, and I think Kathy Bates directed it, and it was supposed to be Edie Falco playing the lead. And maybe that was it. It didn't get picked up, so then there could be a Sopranos.
Oh, well, both worked out for everybody.
It certainly did.
Worked out for everybody.
Amazing when you find out, like, oh, this person turned this role down.
Yeah.
Like, how much money do these actors earn that they can
watch the Oscars and find out?
Well, they didn't turn down because they were just going to sit home and watch TV. They probably had another role that they were doing at the same time. They didn't, of course, know that it would become, you know, like Forrest Gump or whatever. I don't know if that's
one. But if you're an actor, you're just going to do any old shit, aren't you? I mean,
you're a good one, you have your pick of the litter.
Nah.
Like you were just saying that NCIS, there was a guy that was in Fargo that was in NCIS, right?
I'd be that, what's his name? If I was an actor, I'd be Michael Caine. I would just do any old shit.
Yeah, like Jaws 4.
That's what this guy did. And he said,
it was a paycheck.
They said, well, you've already done all these great movies. Why are you doing, and I don't know if it was NCIS, but it was a show like that. Why are you doing this show? He said, or maybe a CSI. He said, I just bought a house in Malibu and I got to pay it off.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I'm here.
Yeah, Michael Caine said something about that, about Jaws 4. Why would you do Jaws 4? That's absurd. You're a legendary actor. He's like, I had to pay some bill.
Yeah.
It was like a week's work. Fuck everybody.
I believe
you have a reputation, right? Like, Daniel Day-Lewis, he doesn't just, sign up for any old piece of shit movie. He does.
Daniel Day-Lewis does one film every 5 years. How much money is he making?
He doesn't care about money. Money's not the... He probably has enough money. He doesn't need a lot of money.
For a while, he was a cobbler in Italy.
He was?
That's a famous
while
story.
He was
no,
an
no,
actor
no.
before?
He packed an act in, and he said, what are you doing? And he was a cobbler. He was mending shoes in Italy.
Man.
And then, whoever... Scorsese or whoever goes to Italy and begs him to make Gangs of New York.
Wow. Now, he's a fascinating man.
He's fucking head cut. You read that, like, when they were filming Gangs of New York, Liam Neeson would go to the same, they'd go to the gym in the morning, and Daniel Day-Lewis would only refer to him as priest. Say, good morning, priest.
To Liam Neeson?
Yeah.
Why?
That was Priest was his character in.
Oh, while they were filming it. Oh, whether I don't remember Liam Neeson in that movie. He was. Oh,
yeah. Neither do I.
I need to rewatch.
He gets killed in the opening scene. Oh, yeah. Spoiler alert.
You're spoiling everything.
DiCaprio's dad.
Oh, yeah.
Priest.
Okay, I didn't say.
In Gangs of New York.
20 years.
I don't
know.
New York. What movie?
I don't remember movies.
Think about There Will Be Blood. That was a good movie.
All right. All right, Christian's.
Are we ever
held up
to Hedberg?
No, 50. We're 50 minutes in, but luckily, Hedberg's act here is only 20 minutes long.
Yeah.
So if we spend half the amount of time on his act, we're out of here in time.
Clue him in.
Yeah. All right. So Mitch Hedberg, I got to say, you know, he was big when I was big. You know, we were both like up there at the same time. Yeah, we were both peers, mm-hmm. and I didn't like him at the time. I didn't like his act, and as we reviewed another comedian, who the fuck was it?
I remember you used to compare people to Mitch Hedberg as a way to disparage them.
Yeah.
That came back into my head.
Really? I don't remember that, but...
If you wanted to disparage someone, you would literally say Hedberg wannabe.
Yeah, well, there was a lot of imitators.
Yeah, I'm sure there were.
There had to be, right?
And I think there is because, well, one, he was successful and different, mm-hmm. right? But it's a very easy thing to imitate.
Yeah.
Who did we just watch that did these kind of jokes? And I was like, fuck this. This is bullshit, these jokes.
John Valby.
No. Valby came out today, right? The Valby Show? You releasing that one today?
I think. I don't know.
Fuck, who was it that does these kind of one? And I said, this is bullshit. This kind of comedy is bullshit. Because to me, it...
Zach Galifianakis.
No. Oh, yes, it was Zach Galifianakis.
Right, sounds like it.
Because when he plays the piano, he does many other things, right? Mm-hmm. But when he plays the piano, it's these kind of jokes. Mitch Hedberg begat Zach Galifianakis, who also begat Anthony Jeselnik.
Would you say that Rodney Dangerfield begat Mitch Hedberg?
And Henny Youngman begat Rodney Dangerfield. The one-line comic, whatever, and there's many variations on it, but it's all bullshit to me because it's just a one-liner. As he's walking up on stage, I'm thinking, like, as a comedian, it's nerve-wracking, right? You've got a special. You're going to go out and perform. I got to remember all this, you know, do my act. Fucking one-liners is a joke. That's a joke. That's just, that's like a fuck.
I guess that's right.
It's like riddles. Yeah, I guess it's a joke. It's like, yeah, I'm going to, you know, puns or whatever. It's bullshit comedy. It's not real comedy. I mean, it is, but it's not impressive. You just got to remember the one-liners you wrote. You don't do anything else. So that's why I hated it, and that's why I would disparage anyone that did the one-liner. Because it's, you know, if there's working without a net, this is working with a fucking giant net. And it's your one-liners that are all scripted. And you just got to go up there and do them. But is that like every comedian with their act? I don't know.
But does it work as well as you think it did in the special that you saw? If you just go up there and do your one-liner jokes the entire time?
Huh? Does it work as well as what?
So there's the special that you saw, the polished 20-minute change. Yeah, the Comedy Central
one. What year was
this?
And then
there's the uncut version that's 37 minutes long.
Oh.
And it's quite different.
Well, I didn't see the long version. Mm-hmm. I only saw this one. This one didn't work, so I don't imagine the long one worked either.
Okay, so you didn't like this one?
No, I didn't. Yeah, I don't care for it. Mm-hmm. There's some decent jokes in there, but I didn't laugh or crack a smile once. Why are you acting all tight-lipped over there? Literally, like, pursing your lips like you just ate the canary. Go ahead. She's waiting for me to wind down.
Well, myself and Christian had a little side
what
thing going on because I forgot.
Because you have to... Because
the group.
Because you can't text as a group. I get a fucking...
Yeah, because the group.
How's that working out for you?
Fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
I happened to be texting him about something else, and as I was doing it, I was trying to find this special, and there two versions came up. 22-minute Comedy Central finished, 37-minute uncut on Daily Motion. So I thought, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to watch them both, and as an experiment, see what they cut out, because 15 minutes disappears between the cut and uncut. And I start watching it, And I realized, wow, it's worth watching this uncut thing, because this whole thing was just a tits up disaster from beginning to end, his recording of this special.
I had a feeling. I had a feeling.
And so, because I was texting him about something else, I said, hey, watch the 37 uncut. It's more illuminating. And
why didn't you text me that?
Because I couldn't be asked. No, because the group text, I could just
see. That's what I'm talking about. Communication's breaking
down.
It's
not my fault that somebody doesn't want to send a text to you.
Yeah, it is.
But
no, because we weren't talking in the group chat when we were talking about whatever we were talking about. Yeah. That's all I'm
saying. So anyway, if you watch the 37 minutes on Daily Motion, you have to go, why did they even attempt to polish this turd? I mean, Mitch Hedberg himself sabotages and wrecks anything
he does.
He's complaining the whole time. Mm-hmm. He's complaining, why is this audience here? They don't even know
me.
Well, he does say that in the 20-minute version.
But he says it like repeatedly.
Yeah, it's like in between every third joke, he references the fact that he doesn't know why he's there and why they're there. And
they had to cut 15
minutes. But he acknowledges this is a special.
I know.
Right? He certainly does over and over again.
So what's the backstory on this? You get it? Any of that? Digging around?
No, but
is this the first big one he released?
This is,
and it's like the only thing that's out there. Yeah, so when this came out, this was, and as you probably know, like the most quoted special, which I think this is the most interesting part of it to me. It's like he didn't have this giant body of work, you know, that people followed for years and years and years. He had this one 22-minute special on Comedy Central, and it's been quoted and revered ever since then.
And it's a shit fire.
And he's held as one of the, you know, one of the best ever to live. And it's really just from this one Comedy Central special, which is wild.
Yeah.
But can you think of anything else? Like he never had an HBO special or, you know, I mean, Netflix didn't exist yet.
But he performed for many years.
Many years, right, but nobody's ever seen it unless you do like a deep dive on YouTube like I was recommending last week.
Well, to that point, I mean, the specials weren't as prolific or as ubiquitous.
They weren't.
As they
it was just
now.
Friday nights, Comedy Central would play the Comedy Central Presents, and you just tune in, whatever came on.
And before that, it was the HBO half-hour comedy hour. You would catch the half hour.
And it's ironic that this is the last living testament of this guy.
And it's not great.
And it's terrible. And this is a person who probably night after night, week after week, killed wherever he went because he had this massive following that knew about him.
Yeah.
You know, and this is the thing. This is his last testament. It's kind of sad. You could have probably filmed him on a club night any weekend for probably 2 or 3 years leading up to this and had gold. Right.
Yeah.
And maybe. Now and then this.
Well, that's why I'm asking when this special aired, because if you look at his personal timeline, if it was in and I went down a Reddit rabbit hole with him in terms of like when he started to spiral out. Yeah. And if it was during this time, then you could have followed him around for years or months around this time. And it was a disaster every night, and even worse. This might have been the best of what they could have pilfered for him, because he was fucking whacked out every night on stage and was just mumbling these one-liners and like forgetting half of them and like going after the audience. So when was this? I didn't have. And the special that we're talking about that we haven't mentioned is called An Escalator Can Never Break. It's the only one, I guess.
Yeah.
So do we know what year this was?
I'm looking it up.
I didn't look it up. I only ever saw him live twice, and the first time I saw him was in a pub in Montreal. I probably already said this, and he absolutely ate shit on that one. Absolutely.
Why? Because the jokes didn't land, or he just couldn't remember them? That's
It was funny. I swear to God, I said all this in another one. It was in one of these like little pub shows. You know, you're just in there, and I remember it distinctly because I thought, oh, I wonder what this is. And I went in. There was an English comedian called Sean Mio who went up before him, and he killed. I mean, he had these really good bits about how he accidentally put his car key in the house thing, and so he just drove his car around a bit. Da, 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 it started up.
He drove his house around?
And it started up. And this, and then Hedberg was next, and he went up and he started talking about, he tried to do a bit, it failed, and then he started going, man, I preferred that English guy to me. English guys are witty. And then he just kind of dwelled on that and then just ate shit for like 10 minutes before leaving. So, and then the only other time I saw him was at Zany's, and they had Mike O'Connell open for him.
I think I saw this.
So it was like the ultimate energy.
Yeah.
Followed by
Moon Boots. He was probably doing Moon
Boots. Yeah, he went up with a guitar and he, you know, like, and then I was like, who? Because the funny thing I always remember about that is I remember getting on the North Avenue bus to go there, and O'Connell got on the bus with me, and I was like, oh, I'm off to Zany's to see Hedberg, and he goes, yeah, I'm in the show, and I just thought, what? I go to him. What?
Thought he'd be in a limo.
No, I just said to him, why are you doing Zany's? And he goes, well, it's a comedy club and I'm a comedian.
That's a good
meaning,
point.
Like, how did he get booked for that? Like, Burt?
No, I was like, why would you lower yourself to doing Zany's, Mike O'Connell? You're a crown prince.
Well, we all shit on Zany's, but, you know, I would have loved to. I only, you know, got the showcase. That's all I ever got, right? Like, and then he would tell me I sucked and I had no identity, you know, and like, get out of here. But I would have loved to perform Zany's more, right? But they wouldn't give us the time of day. That's why we had to fucking go all
that's
these other places.
Yeah, that's what that created the scene there. But no, like, to me, it was like Mike O'Connell was this comedy god. And I was like, well, you should be, you know, you shouldn't be on a.
But he was an alternative comedy god.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. You shouldn't be in a, you know, a 2-drink minimum beer house.
Yeah, but still, it was still the place to be. It was still the only real comedy club.
I never felt that way.
Mm. I mean, we made fun of it because it was, you know, Yuck Yucks and Larry Reeve and all that shit. But it's still what we all grew up watching was that kind of comedy club.
See, I didn't, so I never had that.
Yeah, yeah. You're watching Benny Hill. Okay, well. Yeah, I didn't like it, but I didn't like him then either, right? And so I didn't, I just went on about it. You can, the one-liners don't have to have any kind of, the one disconnected one-liner from the next. Boom, boom, they have nothing to do. One has nothing to do with the next one, right? And then you say him and you fucking leave. So I just, that kind of comedy, I don't appreciate.
Whoever set this special up wanted shooting. I mean, there's so many things.
Yeah,
the crowd configuration was weird.
Were you looking at, there was a guy like kind of in the front row who they had circular tables, right?
Yeah.
And so, but they didn't have the chairs all, they clearly didn't have the chairs all facing the center of the stage before the show. They had the chairs facing the center of each circular table. So then he must have gone up and most of the people must have been, oh, I'm going to have to turn my chair around. Yeah. And then there was one guy who just like, he had his back to the stage the whole time. He just decided like, I'm not turning my chair around.
And then there was like two gaps either side of it with these things in. And did you notice, I bet, go back and watch this because this is really devil in the details. He was saying something and they blasted the music and he walked off. Have they
at the
cut
end?
Him off? Yeah. Go back and watch.
Because he says, I love you guys. Thank you for coming to my special.
And then he went, carried on talking, and they just blasted the music.
Really? I didn't notice.
Another
he
sentence.
He got the hook
or
in
two.
His own special.
Yeah. He literally.
Come on.
Yeah. Go watch it. Whoa. Jesus Christ.
And they cut to the band. That's a pretty sweet gig. I want that gig.
Yeah. And you go.
Where
go,
was this?
Go watch the Daily
Hollywood,
Motion.
Hollywood Palace, I think they said. Yeah. The Palace something.
So in LA.
It's in Hollywood.
Entirely inappropriate setting for his style of comedy. Whoever set
this hook.
Up, whoever set this up, effed up big time.
And on the flip side of that, whoever cut this together to make it look the way the finished product was, whether you like it or don't, compared to what it was versus what was released, did a brilliant job with editing.
You mean they did clean it up pretty well?
Oh my God, yeah. If you, what you saw was the final 20 minutes of him. He finally bailed on his own special because it wasn't working. And he started doing his old jokes. And that's when the audience started reacting. And that's all the old jokes. He even says at one point, oh, my old shit's better than my new shit. I'm out of ideas. Yeah. And it's like, oh, no wonder.
You got to watch the 37.
Yeah, I got to see it.
It's worth comparing. It's a... quite the contrast,
because I kind of like that, you know, like
it was going nowhere, and so he started doing his old shit, and that's when it took, and then he's like, well, can we just start the special now? Can I do the whole thing now? You guys like me? Can we start everything?
Sure.
They ditched everything. They just used the clips of his old jokes, and they made it look, which is, that was the most mind blowing part to me, is because this came out when I was a sophomore in high school, right? So this is like, like I said before, has been quoted by everyone I know forever. I have a friend that was the GM of Stan's Donuts down the street that put the whole donut bit at the end of the receipt. Like on the receipt, when he got the receipt at Stan's Donuts, he put the whole quote. It took up like a whole paragraph. You know what you can write if you own a place, like, thank you for your business or whatever. Usually he had the whole quote, and that would go, he put that there circa, I don't know, 2012 when he worked there. It would go viral every single week. Somebody would get a donut there, and all of a sudden you'd see it on Reddit again or something. And that's how well known this special is. And I now I think it's not because of Mitch Hedberg, it's because whoever cut it together.
Okay. All right. Well, that's obviously one of the big ones, the donut bit. What are the other, the escalator can never break? I mean, that's what the special's named after.
That's that's when it started heating up for him there.
Yeah. But a lot of the jokes I thought in the 20-minute version still sucked. Yeah. Right? Like, there were some good ones.
To open up with that clunky neighbor bit.
I was like, what do you mean go around? Then now I've, you know, I figured when, it out. Then
right you have to wait until he says the doorknob part to realize, oh, he means because there's not a door. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I mean, like, Jesus Christ. Someone told him that's what you got to
open. That's the opener.
And he clearly knew he didn't want to open with that because he, from the get-go, he's just saying, this is not going well.
Yeah.
I am not, like, I do not like. I mean, he hated what he was doing.
How about when he actually said, you know, for a good comedy special, you got to start hot and you end hot. You know, everyone knows that. He's like, well, so far, half of those things you haven't done.
And then he complains about the state of the industry, about, you know, they make you do these things. You're a comedian.
Yeah,
they
can you act? Can you write?
I mean, then he's like, I'm trying to be likable. You got to be So obviously he sat in a room with TV executives who have said to him, you got to be likable. And that's really stuck in his craw.
I can't figure out when he switched his physical appearance to the weird sunglasses, the blue tinted sunglasses and the long hair falling over his face. Because if you look at the old stuff, and he's got like the scruffy beard, you know. Mm-hmm. Look at the old
stuff.
It's just like YouTube clips of him out there. Yeah. I mean, he has long hair, but it's just kind of like pulled back and he's just got a regular face. You know, he's just wearing whatever he's wearing. This one, like, he's clearly like dolled up for the part.
Yeah.
But where that transition happened, I haven't been able to nail down.
Yeah. He found an identity. Maybe Bert Haas after that zany show.
I wonder
says,
if it's the same executive.
You need an identity.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he ended on a flat note in this one. Yeah. You know? That last joke didn't really fly.
Yeah. So he didn't end hot either.
Version.
Oh, okay. But, well, I think I would like the other version better. I like when a guy's bombing and gets real self-reflective about it, you know, and starts talking about what's not working.
That's the 15 minutes that they cut out. Yeah,
that's why he ended up on the stairs.
That's real. Sitting
on the stairs at one point.
Yeah, I wonder. I was like, what are you doing on
the stairs? He started saying,
now?
Like, oh, this made me think of something too. In the 37-minute version, I don't know if they do this in the 22-minute version, but he says, what if I just did the whole special with my back to the camera? Didn't Stuart Lee do something like that? Or some other comedian that
Stuart
we...
Stuart Lee has a thing.
He,
in
yeah,
it,
right? That's it. What I thought.
Yeah.
It's like Seinfeld. Everything kind of circles back to Stuart Lee.
Yeah. I was thinking that when I was watching this too, like, we were watching so many of these now. They're starting to blend together, but you're also starting to see like how somebody's act shows up in another person's act, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, hey, it's fucking, this was Jezelneck to me. Jezelneck just did is doing like a clean cut, like edgy
dark version,
the darker version of Hedberg. Like, it's all one liners with Jezelneck, and it's just like smug and, you know, devil may care.
Yeah, just it's like a different group in the same genre.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody kind of picks what, you know, mold they think they fit, and then they hammer that. Well, all right. Mitch Hedberg. Yeah, I was excited when you announced it because I hadn't thought about him or certainly hadn't watched any of him lately. So I wanted to go back and look at it with an old man's eyes. And, not impressed. Not impressed. But you have to think of the zeitgeist of the times, right? Like, he's coming out of the 80s, 90s comedian time where it was like bep, 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 type of cadence, you know?
How did it go?
Bep, 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 bep. You know, where the jokes were like that.
Where the audiences expect jokes, you mean?
Yeah, where they, well, these are jokes, but like, you know, and then he took an old form, the Henny Youngman, and he, you know, did a drugged out version of that, and that's what got the attention, right? Like, that's what made him popular. It's like, this guy's fucked up, he's crazy. And the truth is, if you read more about him. He was fucked up. He was a fucking drug addict mess, you know?
He died of a heroin overdose.
Yeah,
didn't he?
Heroin and coke, I think, together. And the stories of him performing outside of, you know, something like this are really bad. Like, he was just like barely coherent on stage, like bleh, like falling over. So it's a sad story, but you appreciate him you know, doing something different, you know, being somebody different. Yeah.
It sounds like a death rattle.
Yeah. Oh, don't say that. All right. You go. We're giving this how many boiled eggs?
Out of four?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. This is a tough one for me to rate because it was such an impactful special back in the day. So it's hard to see it as like with fresh eyes. I'm going to go 2 out of 4 just simply because of I've seen it so many times. It's hard to really judge whether I thought it was funny this time or not. But I will acknowledge the cultural impact that it had on comedy and on the people that I watched comedy with when it came out.
Okay. I loved that it was 20 minutes long.
That was right? The best part.
I was raised on 20 to 30 minute comedy sets, and that's my sweet spot. So I love that. That's all. It was so refreshing, wasn't it? Well, you watched both, did you watch both?
I started off trying to cut between them to see what they'd remove. Yeah, gave up.
That's how you really enjoy a special.
Then when I went with the 37.
Okay. But even at 37, that's short for what we've been looking at, right? Everything is at least an hour now. So I love that. And the jokes there were some decent jokes in there. But anybody that does this kind of act is a shitty comedian. So I'm going to give them 1 out of 4 hard-boiled eggs.
Mm-hmm. I'll go with 2.
2?
I was very wearing between 1 and 2, but I'll go with 2.
Why?
Because there's still enough craft in there.
Yeah, yeah, it's good. It's good just, writing,
and it's just the capturing of it all going wrong. I am a bit more like you in that I want to see it fail.
Yeah, I want to see all the warts of it.
My little bit of nihilism bubbled up there.
Yeah, yeah, okay. All right, well, there it is. And now next week, as you know, I am choosing. And we're going to stick with...
Jesus Christ.
Why Jesus Christ? What?
I'm just...
Why? That's... What?
Last. What were the last two?
I did Valby last time. And then before that, who was it? Do you remember? That I chose? Who?
Leanne Rogers, right?
That was the...
Maybe there was that one was a between while ago. Ago.
Oh, Marcelo Hernandez. I did Leon Rogers, Marcelo Hernandez.
You're
in a real heater.
Dirty. I've been swinging and missing.
Punishing.
Yeah, but this one is a guaranteed win. Okay. Yeah,
except for this week.
Because you're going to be excited for this. This is the most important comedy special of my life. We talk about, you know, somebody begatting somebody. I was never more in love with a comedian than after I saw Norm Macdonald in his original American comedy special debut for HBO's Half Hour Comedy Hour. You only have to give it a half hour, right? I don't think they had titles back then. It was just Norm Macdonald's Half Hour Comedy Hour. I'll send you the link, and I will say the greatest comedy special of all time.
I've seen it.
Yeah, but I know it. I've seen it. I could tell you every joke in it because I really tried to copy his act as much as I could.
All right. What year is it?
I think it's
early
80s. 89.
Oh, late.
89, I want to say. 88, 89, I think. All right. Yep. So you will enjoy it.
I love Norm Macdonald. Oh, I have no doubt that I'm going to enjoy it.
This is the best. And you're going to really see him in a different way. The old Norm Macdonald is great, but this is him as not a youth, but as a young guy, real skinny and real coming right at you. Mm-hmm. So you're going to enjoy it.
All right.
All right, Tekashi.
All right.